We know that a picture tells a thousand words. When you look at a photograph, many of the ones you have at home, you know, that particular photo takes you to that place, takes you to that moment in time in the past where you took it. You're reminded of something that happened that might have been pleasant or it might have been bad, but it tells you, you know, you vividly. I mean, I love my son. Sometimes my, you know, my wife created this what you guys call scrapbooking, you know, and so there's memories when they were born. So sometimes they sit around just looking at baby pictures like, oh, wow, like, you know, I remember who was there that day. So a picture tells a thousand words. You're reminded of an event that happened. It could be bad. It could be good. Also, you know, we have a lot of slogans in our society that also they would take you to that moment in time. Things like "United we stand." You know why they say those words. You know, Boston strong because of the bombing. You know, and so that sticks in our heads. Like we see that somewhere driving, we see a billboard, and you see "United we stand." Your mind goes back to September 11, which in about you know this week we're about to have the 17th anniversary of our attack. And you guys, you can remember vividly where you were that day. You know, and you know, people are going to go to the memorial and people go to ground zero just to remind themselves that that happened, that event in our society changed our country, changed our lives forever. Traveling hasn't been the same ever since September 11. Our economy hasn't been the same ever since September 11. I mean, things remind you of events in the past that changed our lives drastically. This week, our country will be celebrating, like I said, not celebrating, commemorating the 17th anniversary of September 11 when our nation was attacked by terrorists. And everything changed after that. See, when we gather as a church, for instance, today, this is a worship service, And a song might remind you of God's love, of God's grace. Like Louis was talking about, a song might remind you that he's going to go with us through the end. A song might bring you to that moment in time, at that particular time when you hear the words like, he's always with us. You're reminded of that because of the song. But the question that I want to wrestle with all of us today is, what does remind you of your salvation? During the worship service, what comes to mind when it comes to like how you got saved? What does remind you of your freedom that you and I have in Christ? A song might remind you, or a meditation might remind you of the grace of God, the stewardship that we are to have. It might remind you of His grace, love, and mercy. But what does remind you of your being saved? What does remind you of salvation? You see, when God liberated the Israelites, the Jewish nation, from slavery in Egypt, Moses was the leader. He instituted a feast by which they were to remind themselves of what God did. That's called Passover. And if you know your history, even today, Jewish people still to this day celebrate that Passover to remind themselves of the freedom when God liberated them from slavery in Egypt. They celebrate it differently, but you know that comes all the way from the Old Testament, Moses. And in case you didn't know, the Passover feast, they celebrated it before they even left Egypt. Remember when God commanded the Israelites to stain the doorposts and their doors with blood so that the angel of death would pass over them and not kill them that night. That was the last plague that Yahweh, the Lord, sent to the Egyptians. And then the last plague after, and then after that, they let the Israelites, the Jewish people, or the Hebrews, go. But after that, God told the Israelites, from this moment on, you are to celebrate the Passover. And that's going to be the first month of your calendar, the month of Nisan. And so you are to tell generations through generations so that they always remember what God did for you while you were a slave in Egypt. My friends, a picture will tell you a thousand words. There's always something that will remind you of His love and mercy. And for the Jewish people, it will be the Passover, that feast that they will celebrate. And God made sure that they understood, I want that to be celebrated from generation to generation to generation so that you tell the kids and the kids will tell their kids about this ordinance, this feast. And I mean, we're in the 21st century today, and in the Jewish calendar, even our calendar, is something called the Passover. And usually we fall around March or April. for our calendar, because we follow the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar. We follow more the Roman calendar, not the Jewish calendar in a sense. So the Passover is this feast that the Israelites will commemorate their deliverance from Egypt. Then you come into the New Testament, Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his apostles. That Thursday night before he was betrayed and then killed on Friday, he gathered his disciples. And the Bible, we know that as the Last Supper. Why the Last Supper? Because literally, it was the last supper that Jesus had with his apostles. In 3 years, he had a lot of suppers and breakfasts and lunches. But this one is very significant because that was the last one that he had before he died. Thursday evening, he's there gathering. Remember, all the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they tell us about the event that, you know, he told disciples, go and prepare so that we can have the Passover feast, also known as the unleavened bread. You know, they were to eat any things with leaven in it. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is also known as the Passover. So Jesus, during that meal, they have wine, bread, he instituted something that we remember even to this day. You know, during the Passover meal, Jesus took bread. The Bible said he broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then likewise, he took the cup and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. I mean, friends, when we come to church, we gather here and we partake of what we know as the Lord's Supper. But you and I need to understand the significance of this event, why we do this thing. You know, there's nothing, you know, that's not going to save us. It's a memorial, in a sense. You understand, this is like going back into a picture, reminding ourselves of what happened. Like, people will go this week to Ground Zero to see names of people they remember, to see names of people that no longer there, but they just like want to honor them. So they go just to that moment in time to remind themselves of that. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper or communion, we do it because Jesus instituted that. Like I said, during the Passover meal, he took bread and broke it, according to Luke 22. And he said, do this, here's the word, do this in remembrance of me. He said, whenever you break this bread and drink this cup, remember me. Jesus gave the disciples a preview. Jesus gave the disciples something by which they were to remind themselves of Jesus, something they were to remember of him. Jesus took bread and broke it, and after giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant. The only time that Jesus said in the Bible, remember me by this, is there. That night, that Thursday evening, when he's partaking of the Passover feast, he instituted what we know as the Lord's Supper. He said, whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, remember me. Now, what is significant about that? The disciples had no idea. Jesus said, hey, this is my body, just for you. They were clueless. We can see better now because we have the full picture. At that moment when Jesus said that to the disciples, they didn't get it. I mean, yeah, it's just bread that you break and give. It's like, this is your body. And, you know, and later on, somebody created, in the Roman Catholic Church, there's a doctrine called the transubstantiation, that they literally believe that that becomes the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. They literally believe that that happens when you're taking it. Now, is that what Jesus really said? That he said, this is my body? In other words, let me suggest to you what Jesus is saying. This represents, this symbolizes my body, which is broken for you. But the disciples didn't quite get it because the disciples did not expect Jesus to die. Now, it's interesting, my friends. When you go through a study of the Bible, the disciples were so obedient to Jesus that every time they ate, every time they celebrated, they came together as a church and they partook of meals. They remembered Jesus because during the meals, they had bread and wine. And every time they broke bread, they remembered, my Savior was broken for me. And his blood was spilled for me. Every time. And when you go through the Bible, especially in the book of Acts, you hear this phrase, the breaking of bread. Breaking of bread is another expression for having meals together. So the Bible says in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. What is that? They're having a meal together. And to prayer. So this breaking of bread is every time that the Christians in the first century came together, they had a meal together. You know, during that meal, they remember Jesus' sacrifice. Now, I know that when you and I have a meal, people say, hey, anybody say grace? And we do thank God for the meal. I mean, we should at least, right? We say, thank you, Lord, for the meal. But do we actually say, you know what? We have bread and we have juice or something. Let's just pause and remember what Jesus did for us. The first Christians, that's how they did it. That's what you always say, and they broke bread. Even Acts 20, Paul's traveling. He gathered with the church, and they broke bread. And during the breaking of bread and coming together as a meal, they remember Jesus, because he said, every time you do this, do what? We just had this supper together, and he took bread. Every time you do this, do it to remember me. My friends, what does remind you of Jesus when you come to worship service today? I think, you know, and a lot of churches do this differently. A lot of churches do like, we do it weekly because we don't want to go through the week without remembering ourselves. We are people, we tend to forget a lot of things. Some churches do it like quarterly, other churches once a month. But, you know, it's like, Jesus said, every time you do it, you see, Jesus didn't say it has to be a particular day. Whenever you do it, he said, do it to remember me. If you're going to do this, he said, make sure you remember me. I got to be at the center of the celebration. Like I said, the first Christians in their gathering, they would do it. They too would pass the memorial from generation to generation, from people to people. Anybody, more Christians were coming. Chapter 2 in Acts, and by chapter 13, we have Gentiles, all the Christians that were not Jewish, they're coming. And then the same memorial, they were reminding themselves of what Jesus taught them. Do this in remembrance of me. Because about 20 years after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, there's a man named Paul. He came along, he's preaching to the Gentiles. And then he writes to a church about 20 years after Jesus. He's writing to a church in Corinth. And then he said, for I delivered to you what I also passed on, what I also learned from the Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. Paul received the teachings of Jesus, and he's now instructing churches that he planted about the observance of the Lord's Supper. When you come together and eat, remember Jesus, because those things were to be transmitted from one generation to another, from one believer to another. And look, we're in the 21st century, and we want to take the time during the worship service to remember Jesus. And we do it through the act of communion or Lord's Supper. The text that I want you to look up is 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. We use this text a lot for communion because, really, that's Paul is giving instruction to the church about their worship. In 1 Corinthians 11, if you have the NIV, you look at verse 17, it says the Lord's Supper. By 23, this is what Paul, the apostle, tells the church. 1 Corinthians 11, 23, says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul is quoting Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and Luke was quoting Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We hear that all the time in communion, and we have no idea what we're saying sometimes. But we have like, what does that mean? Yes, I just want to break this down for you so that we have a better understanding, because, you know, about this memorial of our salvation, as I entitled the sermon for the day today. For I received from the Lord what I also deliver up to you, what I also passed on to you. The Lord gave me this teaching, and now I'm just passing it on to you. That the Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, he took bread. See, my friends, this memorial that we're talking about, the Lord's Supper, is simple, but it's also profound. It's simple, but it's also complex. Just like there's so many things in the Bible that are simple and complex at the same time. It's like, how is that possible? I mean, let me just give an example, just like communion. The simplicity of it and the complexity of it. The simplicity. Jesus took bread. That's what they were eating that night. The Lord Jesus, now he was betrayed, he took bread. That's simple. I mean, bread. I mean, most of the meals we have some bread, or at least Hawaiian rolls, or some kind of bread in there. You know, Jesus took bread, or bagels. You know, that's what they were eating that day of the Passover. So, simple. He took bread, gave thanks for the bread, broke it, gave it to the disciples. There's no theology in there. That's really simple. I mean, yeah. And the disciples, okay, thank you, Lord. Boom, they ate it. And then here comes the profound, here comes the complexity of that text. Simplicity, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Take and eat. Here's the profound. This is my body, which is for you. Now, was that really the body of Jesus he was handing out? He's the one handing out the bread. That wasn't his. But this is my body, which is for you. This represents, this symbolizes my body, which is for you. Now we get it. It's like, okay, how does that symbolize the body? What is Jesus talking about here? Through a piece of bread, broken piece of bread, he gave it to his disciples. And then he said, this is his body, which is broken for you. What was he talking about? And then now you got to go into the theology, because Jesus really was giving the disciples a preview. You know what a preview is? Before you go to see a movie, you want to see if it's going to be good. But the preview, man, they're awesome. Jesus giving the disciples a preview of what he will do later on, the next day. That just like that bread was broken, his body also will be broken for them. But they didn't get it. This is my body, which is for you. Symbolizes my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is talking about what Isaiah the prophet predicted. 700 years before Jesus, he's writing. And in chapter 53, verse 5, the Bible says, He was crushed for our sins, wounded for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah already predicted that suffering servant. Jesus saying, this is my body, which is for you. Just like that, you know, you're really devouring that bread in your mouth. Jesus will be devoured by the Gentiles because of you, because of your sin. But he was pierced for our transgression. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed, by his stripes. And he said, this is my body. The disciples had no idea that Jesus' body literally will be whipped by the Romans. 52 lashes with a whip that was made of bones and glasses. When that thing hits your back, flesh will come out of it. And many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ. Mel Gibson did a great job with that movie. So this is my body, which is for you. My body is going to be nailed to a cross. And people are going to slap it. People are going to pierce it even for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When you eat of that bread, my friends, you're reminded of what Jesus' body had to go through to grant you and I salvation. You understand now what he meant when he said, this is my body, which is for you. That Jesus' body will be nailed to a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, mocked, slapped. I mean, at one time, the Roman soldiers will blindfold him and punch him and say, guess who hit you? This is my body, which is for you. That's why that monument, that thing, I don't want to come to the Lord's table so lightly, thinking like, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a little juice. Boom, boom, boom. The significance that that moment in time has. Jesus said, hey, whenever you do this, remember, this is not just, my body is not being nailed there for you, for your sins. Because of my stripe, because of my wounds, you will be healed. I think Jesus had Isaiah 53 in mind when he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he says after supper, he took the cup. The simplicity. The cup. Wine. Every meal in the Bible, people would drink wine. In fact, Paul told Timothy one time, because you have an ulcer in your stomach, don't drink water, drink wine. Wine was popular in those days. And people would drink wine during their meals. And so Jesus and the apostles, they had wine. So he broke bread, gave it to his disciples, said, do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and said, this cup, you see, the simplicity is just wine, a cup of wine. The profound is this. He said, this cup represents, it's a new covenant in my blood. New covenant. Now, if something is new, that means that there was something that was old that passed away. This is a new agreement now. This is a new covenant. And Jesus said, in my blood. Let's go back to that text in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 11. 25. In the same way, Paul says, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it to remember me. New covenant in my blood. There's the the profound statement that Jesus is making. That wine symbolized Jesus' blood. The beginning of a new era. You see, Jesus' death put an end to the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, every time you sinned, you had to kill an animal. In fact, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. You see, God instituted to the Hebrew people. Every time they violated God's law, they had to come to the high priest and they would kill this animal and sprinkle the blood. And it says, like, now your sins are paid for. Your sins are atoned for. That's what you have the Day of Atonement, which is even in our calendar to this day. And it's going to happen this month, I believe, or next. The Day of Atonement, when your sins are atoned for, forgiven for. But you had to shed the blood of some animal. And so you will go home, and then the next week you sin again, bring another animal to sacrifice it. And so that's why you have all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, because your sins were so serious that somebody needed to die for them. And in this case, the animal became a substitute for you. It took your place. The animal is dying. His blood is being spilled on the altar. And Moses and some of the high priests were sprinkled that. So you hear all this blood going on in the Old Testament. You read it, you're just like, man, so many sacrifices. I was sick. Junior high are going through that, through the book of the Old Testament, Leviticus, and they encountered so many sacrifices. Somebody violated God's law, they had to bring an offering. And in many of those cases, for the forgiveness of sins, so the animal's blood needed to be spilled. Remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus, remember how he introduced him to the crowd? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist already said, he's going to become that sacrificial lamb. His blood is going to be spilled so that the sins of the humanity, the sins of the world will be atoned, will be paid for. Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So sin, God takes that so seriously that, like I say, in the Old Testament, people needed to, that's why you have all the sacrifices. A lamb or a bull or an ox or a goat needed to die. So that the sins of that family will be atoned for. Jesus now said, this is the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant now is not going to be based on the blood of animals, but in his own blood. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, I'm going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to become the Lamb of God so you don't have to do it. So you don't have to die. I be that substitute for you. My blood is going to be spilled so that you be forgiven, so that you be atoned for. And he put an end to all the sacrifices. People don't have to sacrifice anymore. Jesus Christ, when he died, he opened the door so that people can come directly to God. Before, they could not even come near God. Nobody saw God in the Old Testament. They needed somebody known as the mediator. The high priest would go to the Holy of Holies. Remember, there was the separation, the Holy and the Holy of Holies. There was a curtain. The Holy of Holies, only once a year, the high priest would go in. And every time he went in, he always had blood with him. So Jesus now said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. It is in the blood of Jesus now that you and I will be forgiven, that you and I will be atoned for. And then he said, this is the cup, talking about the wine. Whenever you drink it, remember what I did for you. Remember that my blood was spilled so you can be forgiven. It's a joy. It's a privilege, I think, if we spend some time going through the Bible to find out what the blood of Jesus does for us. There's so many benefits in the Bible. Because, you know, just like the Passover, you remember they had to kill a lamb that was a year old and stain the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over you and not harm you. Jesus became the Passover. It's almost like now we're not condemned because of his blood. It's almost like God looks at you now and we are stained by the blood of Jesus, my friend. And that's one of the greatest privileges, because God will not see you guilty because you're being stained by the blood of the Lamb. And he sees you holy and sanctified. I mean, that's amazing. Jesus, all that Jesus said, remember me. Your freedom wasn't cheap. It cost his own blood. I mean, you know freedom is never cheap. Countries have to fight to obtain the freedom and the privileges that we have in a nation. And Jesus Christ said, you're free now from sin, from the penalty of sin, because I gave my blood for you. And all he said, please remember me. I mean, I don't want to spend the rest of my life taking that for granted. I don't want to spend the rest of my life realize I am who I am today because somebody took my place in there. I should have been the one hanging on that cross because I'm a sinful individual and so are you. But no, he said, I'm going to take your place. And that's what the blood of Jesus did. That's why he sacrificed himself so that you and I can be at peace with God. Let me share with you some of the benefits that we have because of the blood of Jesus. The Bible talks about our debts. Our debt is paid because once and for all, he sacrificed himself, Hebrews 9:26, so that you don't have to do any more animal sacrifices. He paid the penalty of our sins. I am forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, the Newsboys have a song that says, I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. And I'm alive and well, his spirit lives within me because he died and rose again. I mean, I don't know what reminds you of your salvation, but I don't think that through the service, I don't go, you know, you cannot just take that for granted. Like, we take the time to remember Jesus' sacrifice because of what he did. I'm saved from God's wrath. Romans 5:9, because of the blood. Now, God, you are stained. You're covered. You don't have to worry about God's judgment. You're being passed over. Amazing. You are cleansed. 1 John 1:7. You have power to overcome the enemies. When you go to Revelation, it says that they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony that they held. Amazing. The blood of Jesus does so many things. We're cleansed by the blood. And somebody says, a hymn writer, there's power in the blood. You and I have access to God, to come near God now. Ephesians 2:13. In the Old Testament, nobody can come near God. They needed to go through a priest, and the priest needed to go through all kinds of rituals and ceremonial cleansing and always go to meet with God. They just heard a voice of God, and the clouds came, but nobody can approach God. Now Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross opened the door so you and I can go directly to God without the intervention of somebody else. Jesus Christ became the mediator between you and God. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a priest. You don't need there's somebody else. Jesus Christ, the mediator, that opened the door, the curtain, so you and I can be at peace with God. This is the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant, the old covenant ended at Jesus' death. You know, so many of the rituals and things, you don't need those things to approach God because Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. You see, this act is simple, but it's profound. The eating and drinking reminds us of what Jesus did for us. It should cause us to remember the one who paid for our freedom. Just like the monuments we have today, Labor Day, Memorial Day. I mean, some of the things we go back to, like, thank you, Lord, that we have soldiers. They sacrificed their lives so that you and I can have a TV today and go to movies without somebody expecting somebody's going to blow that theater up. And then some people don't even take, sometimes they just go their lives. Like, they have a cookout that day and they totally neglect the sacrifice of those soldiers and the family. And you see, and again, the government doesn't even take care of them in our society today. And sometimes we take that freedom for granted. And Jesus said, you know, I saved you from death, from hell. I saved you. And all I'm asking is that you remember me when you come to that particular moment. Every time you do this, do it to remember me. Simple, but very profound. My friends, this memorial is unlike any other memorial because most of the memorials we have, the monuments and memorials, they just remind us of the past. Yes, communion, the Lord's Supper, reminds you of what Jesus did, but he also talks to you about the present, what are you doing now, and points you to the future. Jesus said, whenever you do this, so you see, this memorial isn't like any other memorial because usually you have a set day by which you're going to celebrate Memorial Day or Veterans Day. That's a set day. Jesus said, whenever you do this, remember me. That's why you can do it weekly. You can do it anytime. The church did it every time they gathered together in their meal. They would remember Jesus. They didn't want to go and spend the rest of their lives without remembering what it cost to obtain their freedom. So whenever means whenever you want to do it. But every time you do it to remember me. That's what Jesus said. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Every time they had a meal together, they took the time to thank God and to remember the author of their salvation, the one who made it possible that they can have freedom. You see, this memorial, the Lord's Supper or communion, it's unlike any other memorial because, like I said, a memorial might remind you of the past, who died so that you can be liberated today. Yes, this one takes us back to the past as well. What happened in the past? but he also talks about our present situation. Because in the present, because we have this communion, we can have fellowship with God now. That's our present scenario right now. And then he points us to the future, when we won't have to remember Jesus anymore. I mean, it's like Jesus paid the price for your sin. So what are you going to do about it? Jesus did that for you. So what are you and I? This is our present. What are we going to do about that? Yes, he did that. His body was torture. His blood was spilled on that cross. What are you and I going to do about it? He expects us to believe in him. You see, there's the present connection when it comes to the Lord's Supper. And then there's the future. One day, you and I won't have to remember anymore, because we're going to be seeing Jesus face to face. You see, our decisions that we make today will impact our future, where we're going to spend eternity. The Lord's Supper or communion testifies to the proclamation of the gospel. Look at what Paul says in that text. Verse 26, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, that's present, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's Supper or communion, what we do in our worship service, is a proclamation of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is not a musical genre, by the way. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ died according to the scripture, that he was buried according to the scripture, that he rose according to the scripture, and that he's coming back. That's the gospel. And Paul says, every time you partake of the Lord's Supper, communion, you proclaim the gospel, the Lord's death, until he comes. You're going to proclaim the Lord's death, and then until he comes. So if he is coming, he's no longer dead. So the whole gospel is packed in that verse. That, yeah, he died. For 3 days he was gone. And then on the third day he resurrected. The gospel is Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and appearances. Paul talks about that in the same book. The gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, as long as we are alive, in the as long as we're here today, we are to proclaim the gospel as we partake of communion. The elements. You know, today we don't have, some churches use real bread or unleavened bread. I mean, you see, it's a memorial. The point is that you remember just something was broken for you. His blood was spilled. This is not really a supper, you know. But, churches decided to do this to remind themselves in the worship services that a worship service is nothing if you do not remember why you're doing it. A worship service is nothing if you don't come to grip, like, I'm doing this. I'm getting up early in the morning because somebody get up from the grave so that I can have life and life more abundantly. I owe everything I have to the one who died for me. Because without his death, God will look at me as an enemy. And my friends, you don't want to be an enemy of God, by the way. You want to be made friends, reconciled with God. And that's what Jesus' death on the cross did. I call this a memorial of our salvation. Every time you come to grip with this thing, you're reminding yourself, this is what it cost God to save you. This is what Jesus had to do to save you, to redeem us, to buy us back, so that we be at peace with the Creator. And all he asked is that you remember him when you partake of the bread, you eat of the bread, and you drink the cup. And Paul says that, really, this is a testimony of the gospel. You and I are to proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection until he comes. He promised in John 14, I'm going to go and prepare a place. And if I go, I will come back to take you so that where I am, you can also be. And you know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No one comes to the Father except through me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the gospel, Jesus' death and resurrection, until he comes again. We will be preaching about Jesus. We will be proclaiming Jesus, not just his death, but his resurrection and his second coming until he comes. My friends, one day you and I will have to be preaching again, praying again. You know, all those things will end one day. It will end when we die or when Jesus Christ comes back. You and I, you will have to fast and pray and remember Jesus. Why would you have to remember him when he's with you? When he comes back, you don't have to remind yourself of that. The memorial will stop, will disappear. The preaching of the gospel will come to an end. Isaiah asked God one time, how long? He wanted to find out how long he needed to preach. And the Lord told him, when there's no more people in the town, then you stop. So how long are we going to be preaching? Until he comes, we still got to proclaim Jesus. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, you preach, you announce the Lord's death until he comes. Because one day, my friends, he's coming back. this memorial points us to the future where one day he's going to come back and then we don't have to worry about prayer. We don't have to gather anymore. We'll be with our Lord forever and ever. The one who made possible our freedom. See, until he comes, you see, we have to continue reminding ourselves. We have to continue day after day. Make it our priority that we remember what it cost Jesus. Because we tend to forget. You see, that's why there were slogans, we never forget. Don't forget. Because there will be kids born today that they might think September 11 never happened. And it's going to be our job to tell people it did happen. And here it is. And communicate that. There will be people that born in the church and say, oh, yeah, just whatever. Yeah, that's just Jews and a wafer. That doesn't mean anything. Just say, whenever you do this, it's a memorial to remember how much it cost God to save you. I hope, my friends, that you never forget. That you never forget what God did for you and I. Somebody say, if we forget our history, we tend to repeat it. So I hope that that's not the case, even when it comes to remembering Jesus' sacrifice for you and I.